Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Brokotoff, everybody. Good morning, Rise and Shine, Brokotoff Mishpacha. Good morning, family, and welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Radio. I am your Aki. I'm your brother, Brother Rinaldo Wade. This morning, we're talking about the counterfeit religion of Christianity and the Lion King. Now, just because I've said Christianity, I'm not denouncing our Lord and personal Savior, or the Mashiach, the Anointed One, okay? Now, there was a religion that was created around in the 3rd or 4th century by Constantine of Rome, and it was called Christianity. And he sat down with the Council of Nicea, and they sat down and they came up with a religion to try to throw they tried to throw false lies and false tradition and religion on the kingdom teachings and the holy scriptures of Yahuwah. Okay, so we're going to go over that. We saw some lies and deception and false hope being placed on the word of Yah over the years, and we're seeing it more than ever in the 21st century. Today, I will have with me Apostle Janet Brown. She will be joining us, a rabbi of the Most High, a shula, that means apostle in Hebrew, and she will be joining us very shortly. So this morning we're talking about the counterfeit things that are done in the sanctuary, in the church, a lot of things that we see. The order is so confusing. You know, people don't want to even come to the sanctuary or to the church anymore, because there's so many lies that are being taught that people really don't know the truth from the lie. Okay, and that's why they don't even want to be bothered with the church anymore. You, as the listener this morning, you can also chime in this morning and you can call in. If you're listening from the internet, you can call in by, you can reach or you can talk on the line this morning. Call in at area code 347-884-8468. Those of you who have called in already, you may press 1 on your telephone keypad so that you can join us this morning. Okay, special announcements before we go into the teaching this morning in the open forum. On the Shabbat, Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, Talk, Teach, and Testify Radio will be continuing the teaching of counterfeit Christianity, and we're going to talk about the spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of divination that is in the house of the Lord in the 21st century. What is divination? What is the Python spirit? So the Father is having me to connect the spirit of divination, the spirit of witchcraft, and how it's being introduced in the churches, even in the temples and in the synagogues, okay? So that is going to be on Saturday morning, on the Shabbat, okay, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Those of you who live in the Savannah, Georgia area, in the Pula, Georgia area as well, please join us on the Shabbat on Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the In the Word International Ministries with Apostle Kevin Brown. The address is 20 Mill Creek Circle. Once again, that address is 20 Mill, M-I-L-L, Creek Circle. That's in Pula, Georgia. And the zip code is 31322. Please join us. I will be bringing forth a word from Yahuwah on Friday. Hallelujah. And also, on Saturday night, that will start at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will be bringing forth a word at the House on the Rock Ministry in Springfield, Georgia, with Pastor Elizabeth Akins. The address there is 509 Lowell Street. Okay, Lowell Street is spelled L-A-U-R-E-L. So that's 509 Laurel Street, and that is in Springfield, Georgia. Okay, at the House on the Rock Ministries. So I'll be bringing forth a word on Saturday night, 7:30 on August the 2nd, 2014. Apostle Kevin Brown from In the Word International Ministries, he'll be bringing forth a word on August the 3rd at 11 o'clock a.m. Okay, so we're going to be there Saturday night. I'll be the speaker there. And on Sunday morning, Apostle Kevin Brown will be bringing forth the word at 11 o'clock a.m. For more information, those of you who live in the Savannah, Georgia area, you may please call me at area code 470-798-7319. If I don't answer, please leave a detailed message, and that way I will call you at my earliest convenience. Okay. And that is on, that is the itinerary for this weekend. Like I stated, on Saturday morning, I will be on the air at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time talking about the spirit of divination. It's very important for you because to understand, because there is a thin line between the spirit of divination and the spirit of Yah. And, you know, why would the Messiah say that there would be false anointings, that if it was possible, it would be able to deceive the very elect, okay? And a lot of people have been tricked and bamboozled because they cannot identify the true anointing of Yahuwah, and instead they receive the spirit of divination, okay? And there's a lot of preachers who are operating under that very same spirit. They're using witchcraft and magic to seduce you in order for you to give up those good old tithes and offerings and anything else that they want to take from you. Okay? So we have to be alert of that, and we're going to be talking about that on Saturday, on the Shabbat, on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Also, those of you who have sown into this ministry, Talk, Teach, and Touch by Radio, would like to thank you for everything that you have done, your prayers, your supplications, even your wanting to bless this particular ministry. If you would like to continue to keep Talk, Teach, and Touch by Radio on Blog Talk Radio, if you want to become a covenant blessing to this this powerful ministry, or even if you just want to sow a donation or seed into this ministry, you may do so by going on to www.paypal.com. Press the tab that says send money and type in there where it says email address. Type in talkteachtestify@gmail.com. So you would type in the email address talkteachtestify@gmail.com. Everything is lowercase, and then you can send your seat. Either that, or you can write to your brother at talkteachtestify@gmail.com, and you can reach me if you have any questions or concerns, or even if you would like a topic to be taught or discussed here on the air. And you can either write me as well, or you can send your donation to Talk, Teach, and Testify Radio in care of Rinaldo Wade. The address is P.O. Box 2461. That is in Savannah, Georgia, 31402. The address again is Talk, Teach, and Testify Radio in care of Rinaldo Wade. My name is spelled R-E-N-A-L-D-O, Wade, W-A-D-E, P.O. Box 2461, Savannah, Georgia, 31402. Hallelujah. Like I stated, the proceeds go to war keeping Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries on the air. And starting next week, I will be sending out a link so that people will be able to see me as I teach the word, and I'll be able to write out particular scriptures and also show you diagrams. So that is so important for us to get that so that people can have a visual as to what's going on, because a lot of people are visual type of individuals. They would like to see what's taking place. Hallelujah. So that's going to be starting on next week. Okay, those are the announcements for this week. And may the Lord continue, the Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, Yah Hashem, may he continue to bless and keep you. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about counterfeit Christianity. Yesterday, those of you who have tuned in, we was talking about how entertainment, how politics, religion, education, the social media, how all of these particular avenues are lying to the people. And we are so tired, and the chosen remnant of Yahuwah is so tired of the lies. I was watching this movie called Noah. Okay, it was supposed to be about the 10th son or the 10th generation that started from Adam down to him. Remember, he built the particular ark. It's a floating device to be used to keep Noah and his family and the animals living. So while the flood judgment killed everything else. During the movie, I took some notes and I saw some very disturbing evidence about the movie and how it contradicted the Torah or the word of Yah. The Torah, by the way, is the first five books of your Holy Bible, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the story is from the book of Barashit. It starts at chapter number 6, and it goes on to to chapter 10. And there are some things that that I saw in the Word, and then I watched it with the movie, that's very contradictory. And I just wanted to start off this morning by bringing that out. The movie, most of it, well, let's say the whole movie period, is a lie, because when you introduce lies with the truth, it's still considered to be a true lie. So it is a lie. When you watch the movie Noah, Noah had came out on DVD and Blu-ray on yesterday. In the movie, we saw, or rather on Tuesday, in the movie, we saw that, in the movie now, that Noah was robbed of his birthright by Tubal Canaan, or Tuban Canaan. That was incorrect. Never in the Word that we saw that Noah, his birthright was stolen at all. We also saw the shedding of the serpent's body of Shaitan was supposed to be the birthright reminder, and he kept wrapping it around his arm to have magical powers. My brothers and my sisters, that also is false, because Yahuwah doesn't believe in magic. Also in the movie, Noah's family, it consisted of him, his wife, three sons, and one daughter-in-law. That was wrong. All of his sons had wives. Okay? Because that would contradict the number of the family, the number 8. Because 8 means what? New beginnings. So they was having a new beginning. So in that movie, it contradicted it. Instead, it was trying to say that the number of people that was there in the ark was 6, which represents man. And see, you could see how Hollywood sent subliminal messages. But instead, it was 8 individuals that was in the ark. Also, it had these rocks, or the watchers, was helping Noah build the ark. Once more, nowhere in the scripture does it state that the watchers helped Noah build the ark. The watchers, if anything, they were doing evil things. Okay, you can read that in the book of Barashit, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. It also, in the movie, has Methuselah being a witch doctor whose mental health was very questionable. That is incorrect as well. You can also read the book of Hanak to read more, or Enoch to read more about Methuselah. Okay, but that is incorrect as well. It also showed about Tubal Canaan able to sneak into the ark. That is wrong as well. It did not even show the Heavenly Father closing the gateway or the entrance to the ark. That was incorrect as well. We did not even see Noah walk with Yahuwah or even have conversation with Yah. We didn't see that as well. We also saw in the movie, which was disturbing, Tubal Canaan was eating some of the animals to stay alive. That is wrong as well. It was just a whole bunch of things. The ark, for example, it landed on a cliff next to a beach. We all know that the ark landed on the mountain. Okay, so all of this is foolishness. And people are watching this. I mean, it will, however, it will enable you to read the Word more, you know, to say, wait a minute, something just don't feel right in my spirit. And it lets you to go back to the book of Barashit, the book of Genesis, chapter 6 through 10. And you'll be like, okay, now I can see how Hollywood contradicted a lot of things. And that's what's going on in the body of believers as well. We're seeing a lot of things that are being contradicted. The word is being the word is being switched around. It's being sugarcoated. We're seeing that a lot more in the body of believers today. And it's very disturbing, and it's even having people walk away from studying the word, or better yet, from having congregational services with other people. And we see a lot of church hurt that's taking place, and people also are not receiving that. And people, we must come back to the true revelation of the Hebraic culture and the Hebraic language of the Heavenly Father. And that is why a lot of us are not in alignment with Yah, because we are out of season, when our bodies should be synchronized with the seasons of the Father. And on this morning, I would like to go ahead and bring forth Apostle Janet Brown on the air this morning. She touched some very key topics on yesterday pertaining to the foolishness and the honorable service that people are bringing into the house of Yah. And it's something that, you know, is very disturbing to the chosen remnant, and people are starting not to feel those pews anymore. We're seeing the mega churches starting to be entertainment complexes and financial institutions. They're selling false hope to the people. And that is not what it is all about when we talk about the chosen remnant. Okay? Everybody that say that they are child of Yah is not. Okay? Why would the Messiah say in the book of John, the book of Yahuchanan, chapter 8, why would he say that most of them, they are of the Father, the devil? We're going to go on the line this morning. We're going to bring on Apostle Janet Brown. You're on the line. Good morning, and welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Radio.
Shalom, shalom, and Boker Tov. How are you, and how is everybody who is listening this morning? It's indeed
Hallelujah.
A blessed day that the Lord has given us. And on this day, my prayer is that you all will have joy in your walk this day. We thank the Lord for it. Thank you for having me on today. I really enjoyed yesterday tremendously with our talks on the things that were happening. And we even had touched on it about, about Noah and the movie. And I've never seen such mess, you know. And this was more of a mess than anything they've really ever done. And there's some things, even when they did Jesus of Nazareth, and then when they did the Passion of the Christ, there were some things that just was added in because they felt like they needed to add it in, you know. And with this, with the son going without having a wife, and plus that he was younger, the word did not say that. No, the word said that they all had their wives, and it was them in that boat. How in the world did this man get to be a stowaway on the ark? This is ridiculous. You know, if you're going to teach something or do something, do it the way it is written, you know, not fabricating all of this stuff. So it is just part of what Hasatan, and when I say Hasatan, I'm talking about Satan, the dark one, you know, the one that gives you trouble every day. The more you stay in your walk with the Father, when you see things like this that is being done, he is the one that's perpetrating this. Because we are now in the end times, and it's so crucial that those who have the fivefold are in the end times. It is time for us to start paying attention to what's happening and start teaching truth. You know, let me stop for a moment and let me say a prayer before we even get started into this. Abba, we thank you for this day and for this host who is my nephew, your servant, your vassal, V-A-S-S-A-L is Hebrew for servant, who is diligently every day comes on to the air and speaks the truth unto your people. Father, I ask you to continue to pour into him and continue to give him increased discernment, continue to give increased depth of his sight and in his hearing so that when he speaks forth out of his mouth, which is your living shofar, that he is giving the truth for the people to see, that when he speaks this truth out of his living shofar of his mouth, that he will tear down mountains, mountains of deceit, mountains of lies and false hopes, that he will tear all of this down, and that things that need to be revealed, that they will be revealed in a way that people can truly understand it and realize, you know, that is really the truth. That is not a lie. I thank you for him, Father, and that you will keep him in protecting him, and that no weapons that have been formed for him, they will not prosper. And I thank you for him, that you will give him abundant blessings, abundant favor, and abundant prosperity in his life, his ministry, and his business. Father, we thank you for these things. And for those people who are on the air today, Father, we ask that you will have to help them to have an ear to hear what thus saith this the Lord. And anyone who comes and hears this broadcast later, that they will in turn receive what they need to have into their heart, and their heart will open up to seek him more clearly, and that they will also share these messages that go forth across the globe. Father, we thank you for such a time as this, because we are in the latter days. We are in this time. It is time for the end time army to stretch forward, to go forward and do the manifestation to come to pass and the assignments that have been given to go forth and do it. We will not have any fear. Those who are in your army, we will not have any fear to advance and take territory and get the captives that are there, set them free, and bring them in through the process of making them kingdom citizens. Father, we are believing on you for these things that we are able to do. Those who do not want to be there, Father, that we'll have the discernment to let them go and stay where they want to be in. Father, we thank you for such a time as this. And I decree and declare that these things have already happened. And I plead the blood of Yeshua over these words that I am speaking, his holy name of Yeshua. In his holy name, and Amen, Amen, Amen. Thank you, Father, and his name is blessed and holy. We are finding that so much is coming out of the pulpit. But you have to understand that HaSatan has his fivefold, and he's using the same name. Remember that we know that he is always an imitator, and he tries to imitate the light. And when we talk about the light, we're talking about our Lord and Savior. We're talking about Yeshua. And you have to understand that because he's perpetrating, and to a person who does not know him, that does not have a covenant relationship with him, then they are amazed at the things that they see, and they believe that this is him. And it is not. So he has gone on and even to as far as put a tactical and strategic process in. And see, you have to understand we are in war, that he has gone in and infiltrated into the house of the Father. And because so many of us are looking for more better of money and more better of things and material things and more better of some other stuff, then we miss it when these other things come in, that we have gotten blindsided, that we don't see what's really going on. We don't take time to go to Bible study and really listen to what is being taught. And even after the Bible study, you figure that that's the end of it. You done heard the preacher preach it, but you're not spending the time on your own to open up that book. You got to understand that your vessel, I'm talking about your body, is a temple unto the Lord, and it's supposed to be holy. When you have given your life unto him, the process that should have went about with how to maintain it so that the old landlord, who is HaSatan, cannot come in and invade and take back over where Yeshua has set up house in. And the way that you do that is you have to have a maintenance manual. And your maintenance manual is the Word. Some of you call it the Bible. And we got to understand it's the Torah and the Berit HaHadashah, which is the New Covenant. Okay, so when you keep this in your system and you start really seeking Him, because if you go to Revelations, I think it's 2 and 19, I have spoken on this. If I'm incorrect, I'll come back and put it down. But it tells us that if we maintain our belief, I'm paraphrasing, He said that He would give us the hidden manna. We are in a season now where the hidden manna must be given. And if we do as He say, He'll gladly give it to us. And to those of us who are leaders, we need to take it, that manna. We need to digest it, make sure it's in here right, and then speak it truthfully. Not take it and add to it and take away from it to suit your own self. That is not truth. And we have a lot of this that's going on because most are really concerned because their tithes and offering may be dwindling because the people in the church have gotten stingy about bringing their tithes and offerings unto God. But you get up every day to go where He has sent you for your proper and giving you a portion of income to come in. And he's the one that makes this happen. And then we get stingy about even coming into the house of God. And even if we don't make it, then we go and we don't give our tithes and offerings. And you have to understand your tithes and offerings, especially your tithes, are supposed to go at the table that you eat at the most, or it's the house where you go at the most. And then there's a division being played where everybody said, well, if I go here this week, then I'll give my tithes to this house. And then if I go to this one the following week, then I'll give my tithes there. No, wherever you are registered at and you are part of that community, congregation, that's where your tithes and offerings go. If you go to another house and you see the speaker there or whatever you want to do, then that comes out of your offering to go and give unto that house. And then if you can go and take your last little bit of money and go buy you an ice cream cone, go and buy you a movie that you have to see or whatever, then you can still take that part of that money and instead of putting it there, make a sacrifice, because we don't even know how to sacrifice anymore, and give it where it should be given. So the question comes up in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? And we're robbing Him every day. And we are missing our blessings because we're not doing what He has commanded. And He said, prove it. And we get so worried because of what the things that the world is telling us and finances are tight, then you got to rearrange whatever it is that you're doing. I spoke on this back in 2009, I think it was, that there was a famine that was coming across the land. Guess what? You're in the famine. This is it. You're in the time just as Joseph was when Egypt went dry after 7 years of prosperity. So now you are in a drought. But you have to rearrange how you are spending your money, how you are living and doing what you do so that your basics can be covered, so that you can live and you can still live comfortable. You may have to rearrange some things, but it can be done. And see, our people perish because of lack of knowledge. And we're being lied to about all of these things that's going about. And everybody want to go see these prophets and these prophet liars. That's what they really are. And I never forgot when a prophet came in a limo, went inside of a church, supposed to be prophesying all these things to these people and telling them they're going to get this, this is going to happen to them. But nobody is prophesying how to get closer unto the Father and telling the truth in your ear. The whole church don't have to hear. And if it's something I have to tell, I put a fan up so anybody who can lip read, it's none of their business. And I tell the person what thus saith the Lord. I don't get up here and say, well, I think I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying this. No, we need to be bold just like the prophets of old. When they said, I hear the Lord saying, and that's how we need to speak it. And he went in and told all of this stuff. The people got all excited. The organ man was playing. Everybody jumping around. He went in and spoke what he had to say. They gave him his funds, you know, for coming in honorarium. He went and left and went out the door, went back and got in his limousine, and went off somewhere else. Now tell me, does anybody else figure there's something wrong with that? And while he's pulling up, everybody's still jumping up and down in the house because they're excited because they believe a prophet came in the house. Yeah, it was, but it was not the prophet of God.
Okay, I have a question. I have a question, Auntie. Okay, now we're seeing this today. We're seeing a lot of prophet lies. And, you know, once again, I thank you so much for coming on to discuss these matters. Now, we're seeing a lot of this going on today. And, you know, this is just the example of false hope that is being sold to the people. Why are people continuing to fall for such foolishness? Is it because of their lack of knowledge, or is it because in Psalm 74 it says that the enemy has set up and done wickedly in the sanctuary? What are some of the the reasons why people are so caught up into the prophet lie as opposed to receiving a true prophecy? I know for one, you know, the Holy Ghost is going to only, or the Ruach Kodesh is going to tell the truth. And a lot of people don't want that. They rather accept the lie first. But what are some of the other things that, you know, the reasons why people are accepting such foolishness?
The two things that you mentioned just now are the reasons that that is coming about. But one of the main things that I am finding is that you'll find that the leaders are the ones that allow them to come in the first place.
Right.
So they have not done their research on this particular prophet, because this prophet has probably bamboozled them before he came with a bunch of lies. And because they have not spent time, or they are lacking in and have not received what I call now is the process of an upgrade from Abba, because of the demons and all the entities that are being put out here, and nobody doesn't want to go through the upgrade process, then you didn't research to find out about this one. You're just looking for the fact that this particular one can bring you either a lot of money in or new people in, instead of focusing on who you have there. And you also have that problem where sometimes that the leader, it does not have a covenant relationship, and like I stated, has not been upgraded
right
to combat this. So if you allowed it in your house, you got to understand you are held accountable unto Abba for allowing it to come into the house. Any leader that has a ministry, if you allow that foolishness to come in, it is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are held accountable, and you will face the question, why did you let them in? So we need to start getting whatever training we need to have, or if it's time to get upgraded, you need to go through that process. And it's nothing wrong with that. It's the same thing you do if you want a job and you need to increase your job skills because you're trying to either get more money or you're trying to upgrade to do your job better. Because if you don't do it right, they will pull somebody else in and replace you. I understand that Abba will do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So we are having these kind of problems because it's the leaders that are letting them in, because they don't got, like I said, caught up in it instead of finding out, because where it tells us know the spirit by the spirit. Okay, so what spirit is in that leader? So if this spirit has the leader has the wrong spirit within, then like spirits and like mindsets are going to connect. So it means that's part of the reason why the apostles have to go forth, and when they see something that's out of order, they got to put it in order, put it in check. If this congregation and that leader do not want to accept what thus saith the Lord from either the prophet or from God's administrator, which is the apostle, to clean up that house, then it has to be made known. You cannot go into that house. You will not get what you want. But everybody is so scared to say that because they want to be liked by man. We're not here to be liked by man. We are here to do a job.
Okay, that's powerful right there, Auntie. Now, that brings me to the next point, Apostle, as far as the church allowing the apostles to come in, because it's, you know, we're seeing a lot of, especially the bishopric, as far as them trying to prohibit the apostle, the apostolic anointing or the apostolic doctrine, which came from the chief apostle, which is Yahusha. They have trying to permit that from taking place. And it's been like that over centuries, you know, even during the time of Constantine, you know, and it's been done and iterated time and time again by the Roman Catholic Church. And people are not receiving that. What is the problem there? Is it because a lot of people are so afraid of the apostle, or, you know, to the point, or does the apostle mess up the agenda of
definitely do that, that's for sure. You gotta understand, people are scared of change, and when an apostle and a prophet come in a territory, there's going to be a change. If you have the anointing and the Holy Spirit of Abba in you, and if you up for no mess, don't care how bad it get. I mean, I physically got hit at a time when I went into a territory and realized what was going on. And after I came out and did what I had to do, I got hit where my right arm swelled up and locked in place because of the warfare that I went to, going into a house where I realized they were fighting me tooth and nail on what I was bringing. The word that I was bringing in was bringing truth. Taught what I needed to teach, and then they wanted to stop me abruptly on what I was speaking because they wanted it to be the highlight of the show, you know. So it really got to the point that sometimes we go into places and we see more entertainment than we see worship that's supposed to go on to him. So anytime, you know, people see that a change is coming, believe me, the leaders feel it first. And if they are far part of Hasatan, they really hear it first. And they see it, they feel it, they know it. And they will do whatever they can to stop it. And if they are so caught up with this bishopric, with Roman and, you know, and Catholicism and Catholic, because I was raised Catholic, so I knew a lot of stuff that was going on. And when you see this, you'll be surprised at the stuff that goes on. They even have movies out what's called the Borgia. And all of this, where the one who was the Pope, and I watched all of the political stuff that went on with money changing, giving this one a certain amount of land so they could become one of the cardinals. And then they decided this son was going to be the cardinal. When I saw all of this, I said, see, this is the same thing that's still going on now. And this is really how that the Catholic Church was built on all of this. You know, and then when kings decided to pull away, and then when the other ones was coming up and telling the truth that we did not need a man to sit in a booth in a box that you confess your sins to, and then he's going to tell you, say, five Hail Marys and choose something else and then take a whip and whip yourself on the back and all this kind of stuff. And that's what they were telling them back then. You know, then this is how you consecrate yourself back to God. When Yeshua went and got on the cross, and when he said, Father, I give my spirit unto you, in the temple, thank you, Father, when the curtain was torn up, it broke it from having man in between God. That was our avenue and the door that was open that we could talk to God directly through his son. You cannot do anything without going through the son, because the son is the gateway to get to the Father. His life covered us. His blood covers us and gave us that access unto him. So we don't need to go and talk to nobody in a box and tell them your sins when you can go talk to the Father and tell him. And he'll tell you what you need to do. And it's nothing like these things that man is telling you. And then you have people that's praying unto Yeshua's mother. You see statues all over the front lawns and everything. You got to understand, she cannot help you. She cannot help you. You have to go through him to get to the Father. And whatever prayers that you say unto the Father, you have to seal it with the blood of the Lamb and in his name.
Hallelujah. Now, that brings me to the next point about, hallelujah, about the altar, because people really feel, okay, if you just come onto the altar, then, you know, you're born again and okay, so here you go, you're back, you're born again, and then next thing you know, you're right back in the same situation. What is going on with that? Because a lot of people feel once they come to the altar, and first of all, the altar was used by the priest as a place of praise and worship. So I don't know where people get off at with thinking that the altar was a place that you had to, be born again. That wasn't the place to do it there. It was a place to worship, the Heavenly Father, the Abba. And so with that, why are people saying, okay, well, you know what, in order for you to be born again, you have to come back to church. I wasn't born again, in a church. I was born again, right in my grandmother's living room. My life changed forever, So mm-hmm. Why is it that preachers feel that, hey, you got to come into the house of the Lord to get your, to get your healing? When you look at the Levitical law, you couldn't come into the assembly unless you were forgiven for your sins first.
What this is with this altar thing, but that is what they do. And people not understanding, there's going to be people that's going to be on the roadway while you're standing on the bus stop, while you're in the market, that are seeking him. And if all you have, they have to confess it out that they want to. He's knocking on the door. They have to open that door and let him in. And that means that they have to let him into their heart. And you have to change. It's a choice.
Right.
It's a choice. If because you come in the house of God and go up to an altar, until you speak it out your mouth that you want him for your Lord and Savior, and that you will make a covenant contract right there, and you will change and start doing it, you've done nothing. You've done nothing. If you look at how Yeshua was going from town to town and city to city, that is how, we as apostles are to do. And wherever we're traveling, wherever we do, sometimes if you're just standing still, sometimes people will just come up and talk to you because they're drawn to you, and it's by the Father's doing, because there are people who are seeking him, but they don't know where to go to seek him, and they're tired of going into the house of the Lord, because then you go there, and you got the deacons at the door and the deaconesses at the door, and then they're looking at you up and down like you're dirt, and that is not appropriate. They are the first ones that greet us. Just like in any company, that they greet you when you come in, when you go into the store. Now they speak to you, hi, how you doing, and welcome. We got people can't do that. And these ones with these white gloves on and all of this, and they want to sit you somewhere, and if they say come as you are, and if you're not dressed to their standards and all like this, they automatically, it has prejudice and judgmental spirit. And you cannot have that at the front door of the house of Abba. If they're doing this, move them. Put them in the kitchen somewhere. Put them somewhere else. Or sit them down until they get that spirit right. You got to take the whole staff and put them through training. Do it. This mentality now, we are in a war. It is wherever it are. There was people who were in the war that was fighting World War II and all like that. A lot of them gave their life to the chaplain that was there. They was in the middle of the war, down in the pits. Many of them gave their lives unto the Savior. It don't have to be in no decorated place, in no particular special event. Anytime, any place, anywhere, he will come through his vessel, his vassal. He will come through them to get anybody who is crying and looking for the Lord. He'll even use the one who gives the worst part in trouble in the church, anywhere, causes problems, know their life isn't right. But because someone was crying out for him, he will use that vessel to go in to get that person that's crying out looking for him. And the point, in fact, is he used a donkey or jackass, as they call them, to speak out, to speak to somebody before. That's in the Word. So why can't he use anybody who commits sin, might be the worst person in the church, fornicator, this thing, that thing, and he'll use them because somebody is crying and their spirit is seeking and wants to link back up where it's supposed to be.
Mm. That's powerful because when we look at, Rav Suel, when you look at Paul, he said that he was the chiefest of the sinners, and look how, the kingdom of Yah used him, the kingdom of the Heavenly Father used him to be the shulaha or the apostle to the Gentiles. So he was going around killing the followers of the way at first. And then, once he had the road to Damascus experience, then he was able to lead others to the Heavenly Father. So that's very powerful that you said. When we look at people, and I want you to speak on this a little bit, when you look at the book of James, when it tells us in James chapter 2 or Yaakov chapter 2 that for there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, you have respect to him, the one that wear the gay clothing or the good clothing, and say unto him, sit here in a good place, but you tell the poor man, stand down here or sit down under thy footstool. The question is asked, are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? And that's what's happening when you was talking about the look or the image as to how people perceive the kingdom to be. People always going based off of what something is supposed to look like when the kingdom is unseen. You know, that's how shallow minded that they are, because the kingdom cannot be seen. The kingdom of Yah is within you. Elaborate on that, because you was talking about that a little bit about, how people are looking more at the clothing aspect of it when it's not even about that. It's more about your heart. Remember when Samuel told, when the father was talking to him and told him, I'm not looking at the outer countenance of men, mm-hmm. but I look at the hearts of men.
Scripture tells us that we need to be cautious because at times we will be and could be entertaining angels. And we are going in into doing some things. And what we don't understand is that sometimes the Father is putting us in circumstances and situations to see how will we handle it. If you was in a conference and people are gathering, I don't even like the word conference anymore. It should be gathering.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
someone comes in. And may bring their children, or they may come in just by themselves. And these are people that people like to tag them as low income, or these is them. What do they call it? It's another word, but it's a word that really downgrades. And if you're supposed to be speaking life into a person, then it needs to be spoken better than this. And these dumb people that's on their welfare people and welfare brats and all this kind of stuff. All right? This kind of stuff saying, you got to understand there's power and there's life and death in the tongue. But we need to be careful when we are judging people when they come in, because you could be entertaining an angel. I never forgot the time when me and my son was leaving and was going down to the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. And there was a man sitting on the steps, and the man was saying, I'm hungry. And this was at a time me and my son was going through a phase that we were hungry for a while, too, and we got blessed and some food money came in. So I said, come on, we're going to go somewhere else after we eat something light, and then we'll go down to the harbor. And I heard him, and I stopped, and I turned around, went into my pocket. And I gave him something, and I said, there's a McDonald's there, but if you want something that's really better, go to so-and-so. And I was even telling him where to go. And he said, thank you. And we went down the street, and we turned the corner. And I stopped and turned back and came back up to look, and that man was not there. Where did he go that fast? It wasn't even a split second. And I told my son, remember I told you about times we could be entertaining angels? I said that was one. Because God wanted to see what I was going to do. Was I going to be that selfish because I just got money when I was just hungry myself, when I turned my back on somebody else that was hungry? And then when we got into a place, another time I saw a young lady there I hadn't seen, I don't know how long. She was there with her and her children. And her and I used to work together. And she had did some terrible things to me. And she was part of what they called the diva group. Everybody was dressed to the match. You didn't fit into that group unless you was dressed a certain way, you acted a certain way, and she was one of the ones. And they used to look at me terrible. I don't get into cliques like that. But I happened to see her this time, and she had her and her children. And you could tell she had been struggling. Things had turned for her in her life. So I went over and I said, talked to her, I said, how have you been? And I never brought up the past, anything like that. I said, how are you all doing? And talked to her, and then I brought her children. I think she had four or five, I can't remember. And brought each one of them, one of them McDonald's or Happy Meals. Oh, them babies was excited. And I told her, get something. She said, as long as my children are eating. I said, but you got to eat and keep your strength, too, for your children, because they need you. Get you something to eat. And I gave her something to eat, and I still put money in her pocket. This is for tomorrow. And she hugged me, and she said, thank you. She said, thank you so much. She said, you have not changed. Pray to God I never do.
But why? And, but why we don't see that in the body today? Why we don't see that type of genuine love that, you know?
Because
that,
of the times that we're in this famine where everything is short, money is short, things have went about ever since 9/11, and then now we're in this economical thing, and they're tightening up, but the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and the middle class is struggling where they weren't struggling as hard before. But this is because this is the system that's doing this. So we, you know, it used to be a unity in the neighborhood. You know, your house, I look out for your house, make sure nobody's broke in or nothing. Now it's you live in your house, I live in mine, and leave me alone. So, you know, all this has developed into the house. And I'm seeing more people having major big disputes over little tiny little things. And this is the social attitude that has come across and has been spreading across the land. We have a spirit, a murderous spirit, that is running across the land. Myself and another prophet talked about this just yesterday. And so it means that it's running in your finances. It's running in your social life. It's running physically, spiritually, you know, naturally, all of this. And it's running across the land. And when you look at what is happening in Israel, whatever happens in Israel, we're going to get part of that also. So we have to be more in tune to what's going on in Israel. Turn on the news, go on the internet, see what's happening. And you're also seeing changes now where women couldn't even go to the wall and wear a tallit to go and praise, and they couldn't do this. Now, you know, the doors is opening up because the men are saying, you know, the women don't need to come here and do this. And wait a minute, who told you that you all was, you know, was the elite that couldn't come to the wall and pray? And who are you to tell me that with the tallit, what they call a little tent, because once you adorn yourself with the tallit, you are in God's presence.
Right.
Because it's a symbolism also of the tent, the tabernacle that was there during that time in the desert.
Right.
And really the tallit was made to hold the zit, the strings on the bottom. And I'm going to teach on that and what's really important. It was really made for holding that. That's what it was really made for, is some strings that's on the bottom. That's why I get upset when I see people waving it around and dragging it on the floor, because a lot of people don't understand that it's also those knots and ties are a reminder of the 613 commandments, but it also spells our name. So why are you dragging
that's
it on
right.
the floor?
Now, have you rebuked someone that have done such a thing? Because I've done it.
I've seen some people do it. I saw a well-known prophet who had their little conference, and they was waving it all up in the air, And when it came down and hit that floor, I jumped up. I was in tongues. I was fussing. So are you kidding me? Do you really know what you have in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of your fastest access points to get into the Father. But if you don't understand, it's like any other tool. If you don't know how to use the tool, you can hurt yourself. So that's your point of access. When you get underneath of there, you are in his presence. In the, what they call sometimes the little tent. You are in his presence. Act like you know. And people abuse this thing. Everybody just want to get one to wear one. They don't know nothing about it. They don't know the history about it, nothing. And then they go into the bathroom with it, and I'm like, oh, no. I'm screaming.
Yeah.
You don't take that in the bathroom. What's wrong with you?
Right. Now, people are wearing that. This is one of the lies that I want to speak about. They're wearing it like it's some type of fad. And people will kill you, you know, for wearing these type of things illegally. They will kill you, you know.
That's right.
And we're seeing, you know, like I said, that people are not, once again, taking the things of the Heavenly Father, the holy things, the kadosh things of the Father, and they're not respecting the kadosh things of the Father, his commandments, his, you know, his word, his davar, you know, they're not taking these things seriously, you know. And I want to ask you, you know, the people are taking these, the talit, you know, it's like a fad to them. You know, I saw somebody else wear, so now I'm gonna wear. The word tells us that when the woman with the issue of blood, when she touched the hem, it wasn't a skirt or it wasn't part of his garment, not that garment, but she touched that talit.
Yes, she touched the zizit. That's what she touched.
That's right. Yes,
because
indeed.
It spelled God's name, and that's how she was healed.
Right. On the name.
And that's why he said something left me, touched
mm-hmm.
me.
Yep.
That's how he knew. Because he said, I and the Father are one in the same.
Right.
So he knew that there was healing went somewhere that somebody touched. And most of them didn't know where to touch. They were busy trying to touch his shoulder, trying to touch his arm, and like this. But this woman touched where she was supposed to touch.
Right.
His shadow even healed.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that come into the Father's house of worship, and I watch them come in. And they come in and they sit down and they bring in, you know, all of their products that they selling, and people who got orders from this thing and that thing and all this kind of stuff and bring in. And they're talking to everybody and howling down, hey, girl, you know, and all like this and this and this, this and that. And I watch them, and it really irritates me because you done forgot whose house you walked into. If you were in your house, and I don't know if they do it now, but I know at a time when in my day, and even people come, children that come in my house, how dare you come into the house of somebody and not speak to them, acknowledge them in their house.
Hmm.
And we'll get a big, child, you want to walk in my house? You know, you cannot speak. Then why is it that when we go into the house of Abba to worship him, we go in and talk to everybody else first? Don't go down to that altar or somewhere in that building where you stand in that and not speak to God first.
Mm, powerful.
And it's being done all the time.
Yep.
If somebody wants to talk to you, wait a minute, I got to talk to God first and go do what you got to do. You feel that you feel better going down to the altar to do it, that's fine. Because if you understand the structure of how the houses of Abba are supposed to be made, the altar and the pulpit where it is, that is where the ark sat at. And that's where the Father ascended and descended. That's why I can't understand why people can play around in their pulpit and don't understand if he comes down and your vessel's not right, he will kill you on the spot. It is getting to be that time, and everybody want to cover it up and say, oh, they had a heart attack. No, they didn't. He killed them because his vessel was not clean. He had no business there.
Now let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because that's because people don't believe that the Holy Ghost will indeed put them out. You know, let's talk about that, because that's another topic that a lot of leaders, not so much the sheep, but the leaders need to hear about this, you know, about, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that, and I said the fact because it's been proven in scripture when you look at, Ananias and Sapphira to what they did, lying to the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And they believe that, you know, that this can happen. He's the same Heavenly Father that was, is, and is to come. He's the same one.
That's right.
So they feel because of the blood of Yahusha that, you know, that they don't have to worry about these things. When
they
all
think that they are exempt. Mm-hmm.
Mm, when they are in actuality, they are more effective because he said, I did not come to do away with the law. He did not come to fulfill it. The Holy Ghost, the Ruach Kodesh, what it does, it pushed us furthermore into being able, because you can only do it through the Ruach Kodesh, and able to do the Torah. So why do people feel that he won't touch them anymore? Because his grace is sufficient, so I can go ahead and I can continue to do my mess. Why are people, and it's ignorant that they think like that, and they're perishing for that lack of knowledge because of their ignorance.
A lot of the leaders are getting this thing in them, and it's building in them all the time that the ministry that the Father has given them, if it really was him that gave it to them, that's the first thing. And a lot of them get up here and name a ministry after their name. And and they don't understand. Your name don't have no power to it.
Mm.
Okay, that's the first thing you're deceiving yourself with. Your name has no power. You did not go to him and ask him for the ministry, what do you want it to be named? Because it should be his station identification on that ministry. And you need to understand that ministry is not your ministry. It's his ministry.
Mm.
You are a workman, a servant, constantly a servant. And you get them up here and they get that on there and they go up into that pulpit like that. So then when we're trying to do worship and pull the Father in to, you know, to invite him in, we can't get him in sometimes because that which is in the pulpit is stammering, so the Father can't get in because, you know, the Father does not like sin. Did he not turn his back on his own son when all the sin was in him when he was on the cross? And the skies got dark. And he said, Abba, Abba. And he cried unto him. Because at that time, the Father had forsaken him because all the sin was on him. Don't tell me he can't turn his back on you if you're full of sin. Yes, he will. He did it to his son. The one thing I was blessed about is when you was crucified back in them days, they didn't have no piece of something hiding your body. You was crucified naked.
Right.
So the Father had the skies and all dark so that not to show his nakedness of his son unto the people.
Mm.
To dull it. If you have bright sunlight, you're seeing everything, including down to the very last freckle. You understand? But he dimmed it for that purpose. And when it came to the time when all the sin was on him, his Father turned his back on him. But then when it was released out and sent back, and he pulled all sickness off of people. People was coming out of their graves that were dead. Can you imagine you sitting in your house and your brother, father, somebody come walking in the door, and you know you buried them about 5 years ago, and you looking trying to figure out what in the world is this? You're scared to death of them. But he's so glad to see you and trying to come to you. You're howling and screaming because, you know, you were dead. You dead. What you doing here? He took all of that with him. Everybody who was sick, all the lepers that was in the leper village, all of them became clean. And they had to go to the high priest so the high priest can state that they were clean so they could go back to their people. He took all of this up in an instant. People are in this house of God, and they come in with this attitude with the leaders. You understand? And if the leaders what they have in them that will produce cannot do them. And like I said, it's a choice on what you want to do and what are you supposed to do. You cannot play around in that pulpit. I remember the first time God told me to come and step up in a pulpit, I was scared to death. I said, I'm not stepping up in there. That's holy. I said, I'm not dying. I'm not worthy to step up in there. And he said it to me again, come and stand. And I stood up in that pulpit. Nobody else was in the church at that time. And I felt the presence of God drop down on me. He said, this is what you should be feeling every time I come. He said, every leader that stands here, this is how they're supposed to be when I come, that your vessel is holy and clean. He said, I got so many tainted people out here that it's a blessing and an honor to me that I have a vessel I can come down and I can connect to in the pulpit. And when I can't come in here to speak to my people, then my people lose because it's unclean.
Mm.
We have too many unclean in the pulpit.
You know, it takes me back to Genesis 11 when, remember, it stated that the people of Shinar were building something up unto, you know, they were trying to reach up in heavenly places, and they were building up not unto the name of, you know, of the Heavenly Father, but they was building. And they were saying, let us make us a name.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing a lot of people who are trying to build things.
That's
up
arrogance
to the Father,
and pride.
But, right. It's pride and arrogance, you know. And that's the same thing that got the enemy, that got Shaitan, that got him thrown out, is that mm-hmm. pride. And we're seeing a lot of that.
Do you remember when they were in the wilderness? And Aaron was there, and his two sons committed atrocities unto the father. The father
okay.
killed them.
And mm-hmm.
he told Aaron, do not mourn them. It
mm.
was an order. Do not mourn them because they were in error. When you
right.
look at, was that Samuel or Ezekiel? Samuel's two sons
uh-huh.
was having affairs and bringing women into the father's house and having sexual intercourse and was robbing the people and doing all that. The father killed them off too.
Oh, you're talking about Eli's.
Thank
Eli's
you. That's what it is. Eli's
uh-huh.
two sons. Because
uh-huh.
Samuel was there
right.
as a young child, and that's when he started hearing the father's voice.
Yeah.
And he took his son for disobedience and not
uh-huh.
being holy and desecrated his house. The father is not going to tolerate this desecration of his house. We got to stop this. If you're finding that his house is being desecrated, go find another house. You have to.
Because
time
I was gonna,
is too short.
You know, I was going to ask you that because a lot of people, because of their loyalty to their leaders, they feel like they can't leave. You know, when all actuality, if the father tells you to leave, you need to leave immediately.
Right. You better have loyalty more to the father except to that leader, because you got to understand, that's man flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put that leader before that who made you, created you, who's your real keeper, your portion keeper, anything, he is a jealous God. And see, that's the problem we don't talk about. He's a jealous God. Don't put nothing before him. Nothing. You put a car before him. You put something else before him from you and then hit you with something for punishment. His wrath is getting more and more stronger on his people. And when you look at the time when the Philistines was tearing Israel up, and this was before Samson even came. And then God said, I can't turn my back on my people anymore. Let me calm down my anger to them. And Samson was born. He was a Nazarite. No strong drink, could not cut his hair. He was for the Lord and for his use. And Samson was tearing up everything. And even when Samson had sinned and told Delilah, and she betrayed him. But at the end, when Samson repented, because he lost his sight, they burned his eyes out, and when he repented, the father said, I can't turn my back on him because I love him that much. And he came for the last part that needed to be done because some Philistines were supposed to be cleared out and gave him that strength, and they were shocked. And they came all into that little temple there, knocked down their guard and stuff, and took almost all the town out. I think it was only if any of them got out that was something. But, you know, took them out. The leader, all of them, the one, Delilah, gone to for betraying that man of God. And see, we got all these Delilah spirits, Jezebel spirits, all of these ones, and we don't know about them. We haven't been really taught good about them, but they are rampant in, and they will make you, and there's no gender specific, will make you turn on your father. Then even that one that made you turn, the wrath of the father is coming on you too. So you better think before you make a move.
Wow. Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone. Those of you who are coming in late, welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Radio. I am your brother, your Aki, Brother Rinaldo Wade. I'm here with the Rabbi and the Shulaha, known as Janet Brown, hallelujah, and we're discussing this morning about the lies and deception that is going on in the congregation of saints today. What is wrong with, with the body of believers? We're seeing a lot of foolishness. We're seeing bishops saying that they can they can do things that the apostles can. You know, we're starting to see a lot of foolishness, as far as, people are just not reverencing the house of the Father. And as a result, people do not want to come into the sanctuary anymore. And as a result, people are saying, you know what, I don't even want to do this anymore because, you know, I think there's some there's a such thing as, this couldn't be true. These people do not fear Yah or fear the Heavenly Father the way that they should. And it's because they don't know him. The word tells us that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of him. You know, once you start to understand the awe of him and how great he and how powerful he really is, then people will still, they will start to reverence him the way that they should. And that's why we're not seeing a lot of reverencing. And that goes for as far as on Facebook or whatever the case may be, because we're seeing a lot of foolishness going on social networks as well. A lot of fighting, a lot of, pornography done. Watch this. By leaders. Okay, so, you know, if we're supposed to be representing the true and living Yah, but yet we're seeing a lot of foolishness that's taking place in the body of believers, the people now will not follow. The scripture said in the book of Hosea, like people, like priests, because the people are starting to become like the leaders. It's not the people, it's the leaders. And these leaders do not want to come up under a true apostolic, they don't want to come up under true apostolic teachings. And as a result, with them denying the Torah, they have denied the power thereof. And for such, you have to turn away. You must turn away from such foolishness. And I believe, Apostle, that a lot of people are entertaining foolishness. They're being entertained, and they're loving to have their ears tickled. This is why the kingdom is not being built, number one, on a, we already know the foundation is strong, it's eternal. You know, he's chief cornerstone, and the apostles and the prophets, supposed to build such a foundation, but you have many people who are claiming that they are apostles, but they are imposters. They're not building up, not buildings, but they're not building up a people. And they're not getting them saved and delivered and breaking them out of their spiritual prisons. They're locked in a spiritual fantasy instead of spiritual reality. They're allowing Mystery Babylon to have control over them. And that's in the book of Revelation. And we're seeing tradition and religion being dragged into the church, or I like to say into the Kahal, into the assembly of saints. And that's why we cannot move. We can't move because there needs to be trained individuals who know the Torah, how it is to live righteous and holy. And then they should be permitted to come in. But you have a lot of leaders who don't want to hear that. They don't want to put those who are consecrated by the Father, who are holy. They don't want to put them in because it's about the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why, the body can't move. And watch this. We're coming back into the Hebraic culture of the kingdom. It never left. It's just that man has left it.
That's it.
And we have to come back to reality. We must get back to the kingdom culture of the Father. Now, you might say, wait a minute, my King James Version is English. Don't you know the first scriptures that were written were in Abri or in Hebrew? We have to go back. The scripture tells us, he says, to go back to the ancient paths and ask, where is the good way? And walk therein. Because he wants us to go back to his history. He wants us to go back to how he delivered the Israelites. He's still the same Father. He's the same one that had the three Hebrew boys. He protected them. He was in there with them.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same one that was there that created a fish that got Jonah out of the sea, that swallowed him up.
Yes.
And Jonah, did you hear about that? That Muslims have bombed the tomb of Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
They bombed it on last Thursday.
Yes.
And we're starting to see people, and this is no game, we're starting to see that the Muslims are trying to take control, and they've been trying to do that for the longest, over
mm-hmm.
Israel. Why is that? Why are they trying to take control? There's something about the Holy Land.
It is the most richest piece of real estate in the whole world. And because it's a statement, and everybody in way back, the Christians came up and did a crusade. They took it for a while. And when you saw, there was a movie that was out about that, Kingdom of Heaven, something like that. And
okay.
They've been fighting over this piece of property for so long that everybody wants to claim that they are the righteous people of the Father. When in actuality, everybody knows that it is the children and the people of Israel. And you have to also understand that the Father loves variety, because how did all these different people of different creations were made different? It's all over the planet. You have to also understand that when the big Exodus came about, there was a lot of other people besides just the children, the Hebrews that was leaving out and went on the Exodus. And it's not they went over and have come over to be in this. And everybody wants to claim that their culture or their group of people are the righteous ones and that belong in Israel and that it belongs to them. When the Father has already made it plain who it belongs to. It really belongs to him, and it belongs to Yeshua. When he comes back, that's where he's going. That's why they build the bodies up in front of the East Gate, because of the process or the policy that they have that, you know, you Jewish people don't go across dead, you know, cemeteries over dead bodies.
Right.
So they figured that if they put, they walled it up, and there's even a scripture that talks about when he last went through the wall and through the East Gate, and then wasn't long after that, they boarded it all up, and then they put the bodies there in a means to stop him from coming back through that way. When he comes back through that way, that's where he's going in at. You can't stop him. It's his territory. And I'm looking at everybody being silly, tearing up everything, fighting, and all of this to claim that their God is better than any other, and it still belongs to one God.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes back, that's when everybody's going to really see the real deal. And, you know, it's so silly. When he's trying to get so much down here, he has made it clear, you know, and then you got people that just, you know, have so much hate in them over a piece of land. That is silly.
But it shows us, though, just how important, you know, the piece of land, that holy land, really truly is, you know, and they're trying to seize control of that land and the Gaza Strip. You know, it's so important. And we're just discussing this, my brothers and my sisters, because it's so important for you to know what time it is, what's really going on over there in Yasharia. It's so important. It's so essential, because it has everything to do with your spiritual walk with Yah. I'm telling you, when we looked at the blood moons and you know, all of that was taking place. Every time you see the blood moon, it shows in history, every time that has occurred, something has happened to Yashariel. Something has always occurred. And when you see something like Apostle said, anytime you see something happening to Israel or Yashariel, you need to really pay close attention, because the Father is doing something. He's trying to get our undivided attention. When people do not want to come subject to what he is doing or to what he is saying, he knows how to get your attention. He makes your situation uncomfortable. He will put you in a famine just so that you could cry out to him more, to ask him, Heavenly Father, what is it that's going on? Why is it that my family can't move forward? Why is it that I'm in this situation? He puts us in these situations not to torture you, but he does these things to make it uncomfortable for you to come out of your comfortability and back to him. That is repentance.
And move to where you want to go, where he wants you to go,
where he wants
your destiny.
Yes, yes. He has done that over time. Yes.
He has
done
that
time and time again. Yes. Yes, he is. Until we get back to that place. Until we get to where we need to be in him. Into Teshuvah. They haven't heard of that one, Auntie. You know, that's repentance. True repentance. That's where he wants us, back with him. We have to go back to be back there with him. And if people don't get it right, like the apostle said, they're going to fall dead in the pulpit. They're going to fall dead in the sanctuary. They're doing that right now. And there are particular individuals. He doesn't want to use the saints and the stuck-up, you know, the ones who think that they're righteous. He's going to start using the prostitutes. He's using the sinner, because that is how he gets his glory, his esteem. He said, I did not come for the righteous. He said, I did not come for the just. I came for the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
He came to rescue the lost. And if we do not, and especially this goes to the leaders, If you do not treat the true citizens of Yah, if you do not treat them correctly, they know the scripture. The scripture reads, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. It doesn't mean a pastor. First of all, for that to apply to you, you must be anointed yourself.
That's right.
You cannot claim that you are anointed with no anointing. Now, you can have the false anointing because the enemy works in that. But we were talking about the true anointing that comes from Yah. This is why we're talking about this, people, this morning, because we're seeing too much foolishness and the people are tired. They're restless. This is why your brother brings this teachings on the air on a daily basis, not for entertainment purposes. I could have stayed home for, you know, I can, you know, not come on the air. But we do this, we teach the truth, and we spread the truth so that you could be aware. So that you can alert others. Because we have an assignment, the Ezekiel 33. We are watchmen on the wall, and we have to alert you. And we have to let you know what's going on. Like we was talking about earlier, how people are using social media and they using this. They're fighting on there. It's a lot of bickering and fighting. And like Apostle was saying, they're fighting over, you know, hey, you know, you're wrong. You don't have the Holy Ghost. And, you know, other people are trying to tell you to sow a seed into their ministry and you don't know their works. You don't know what's going on to them. You don't want to sow to your particular pastor, but you'll sow to anybody else that has a fancy name. It's foolishness.
And when the Father even directs you to sow somewhere, you get so many people out. You know, I got my so-and-so bill I got to pay. I can't give this to them. You don't want your blessing.
I don't want to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you know what I'm talking about.
They get into, watch this, they get into this thing about, okay, so they make this promise to you. Okay, that's what hurts me, is that they make the promise that they're going to sow into you, but like you said, something came up. Okay, what happens if the Father wants to bless you, but something came up?
Mm-hmm.
You're not sowing into that individual. You're sowing it to the kingdom.
And for that
because
work
they belong
to
the kingdom.
That's right.
That's correct. Why, you know, Paul said, look, I had to rob from other churches to give to you guys. You know, he's talking to the stingy Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had to rob Paul to pay Peter. That's where we get that term from.
That's it.
And you get people who don't appreciate the truth. They rather pay these tele-evangelists who tells them lies. Wow, that sounded like a good word. Wow.
Yes, it is.
That sounds like a good word right there. That sounds good. And what they do is that once you give in to that, now they got you.
Uh-huh.
And then you're waiting on your, you know, you're waiting on your season, and they done lied and told you this was your season. You read the book of Ecclesiastes. It might be your season to die. It might be your season to not receive. It might be your season to give. It might be your season to cry. And you have to stay in your word. Go ahead.
That's right. It is something when the only time we seem to know to seek him or seek his face is when we are in pain. Something has come about. And if it's by him putting it there, force you to move you there, or if it's a strategy that he has allowed the prosecutor, which is Hasatan, to move but not kill you, to get you to do what you need to do. But we don't never come and seek him and talk to him in a timely or give him time just to have a conversation. until we are in pain or we need something from him. And we get up in the morning to go to work. We don't even want to get up an extra 15 minutes, half an hour, or an hour to spend time with him before we go off in our day. Then maybe if we do, he might let you know something that's coming your way that might, you know, somebody might try to hit you with a car, somebody's going to give you drama on your job, but this is what you do. But we don't take time and we say a prayer while we're putting our socks and shoes on, or stockings and heels, and getting ready to run out the door. Lord, I thank you for waking me, just a little 5-minute prayer and off you go.
Let's talk
but
about
when it's
that.
Time that you in pain, then you are slobbering on the floor. You find some way to tell the children, don't bother me. Lock the door, get in there in your room, and you prostrate on the floor because this bill coming, you don't have this money. You know, they're trying to take your car. They're trying to kill your son and all like this. But if you had just took that time and interceded for your household, the word says a Proverbs woman is up early for her family. And, you know, and does what she needs to do to make sure that her family, including her spouse, is taken care of. And to the point that she's an intercession for them. She feeds them, that she is the house manager and manages the house. Make sure those who are in her employ to maintain or do things. And she's got her own business, you understand, and taking care of what needs to be done. We done got so lazy, we don't even get up in the morning and fix our children no breakfast. We're running off to McDonald's and all these other little places to get the stuff that's killing you instead of taking time in the morning to do something or give them cereal and milk, and maybe they might get a hot one if they get oatmeal or cream of wheat. What happened to the times when we're supposed to be up before your family and you all situated and make sure they're doing what they need to do and everybody rushing because we don't want to get up that extra early? I need all my sleep for my job, then go to sleep early at night. And make sure all of y'all are in prayer before you go to sleep. It's supposed to be a family affair.
Okay.
And we don't allow him into the family.
Now watch this, because you're saying something that is so profound this morning. The leaders are not teaching individuals how to get into morning prayer. We're seeing, like you said, we live in a microwave age in which, number one, people want everything right now.
Yeah.
Everybody want a popcorn miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody want a right now anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not in constant prayer. Now, you know, we need to be up in the morning. We need to be in prayer with the Father. We need to get there. Why aren't leaders teaching that we need to be in prayer and we need to crucify our flesh, not monthly, not yearly, but daily? Why isn't that being taught? And we're going to open up
because
the lines in a minute.
The congregation is believing that it is the responsibility of whoever they are attached to from their leader to intercede for them. That is what they're believing in. So unless the leader goes forward and starts teaching them these things, these basic things, they're not going to know how to do this. They will not be teaching the basic things that needs to help them to manage and go through the week. We're not teaching them that, hey, you know, these food things you're trying to eat is not correct to maintain your body because your body is supposed to be a holy vessel. You know, you're putting garbage in your body. It's time to clean it up. You're not teaching them that you need to have a colonic to clean all that filth out so that your body, physical body, is healthy so that it can hold the anointing and the spiritual part that needs to be in there because it's unclean. And they leave it to the responsibility that even when they have a night that is designated for them for intercession, hardly nobody shows up for that. Hardly nobody shows up even for the time for Bible study. And even if there is a teaching before that, people will come if it's the right person that's speaking. If it's somebody else, well, so-and-so not speaking today, so I'm not going. And you don't understand, you might be missing the main portion of the manner you're supposed to have that's coming from this so-and-so, what you call is a nobody, But they have all the anointing and everything you need and the ingredients that you need to get you through for the rest of the week. Because we get so fizzled up high when we go in for the worship. By the time Wednesday or the midweek come in, we just about dead. Because we haven't done anything to maintain, which is our own responsibility, in between that time till we get in there. So we should still be having that fire burning. Half of us come in, all we got is a little piece of one amber that's burning. And if somebody got help build you back up again, and sometimes you can't get built up until you hear an organ is doing this, and so you can dance, and you think that you're being built up, but that's the falseness. Because that's entertainment. That's not God.
Right.
God is
right.
What builds you up. And everybody wants the deep and get in the deep, but when it's time to go through to get to the deep, nobody don't want to go through that. They start convection. Convection means whining. Oh, God, take me out of this. I can't do this. This weight is so heavy. God, you know, why don't you just kill me now? You know, just throw me in my coffin. I can't do this. You know, instead of asking him for the strength and ask him, what is it that I need to learn for going through this?
That sounds like Elijah, huh? When Elijah was like, look, just kill me. I'm ready to leave.
And we've been in that state.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Wow.
But it's your personal responsibility. And again, I'm talking about that. Your personal maintenance plan that you need to sit down and put together for you to keep you straight so that you can be the strength and also, what's that word is, the example. So that your children see it, everybody else in the congregation see it, and then when you go in for worship and go into a house, they see that all these people that come into that house, you know, there's a lot of strength there. I'm seeing these people coming in, you know, strong walking in. They're not weak or whatever. Then they know that the presence of him is coming into that house. When you start coming back every time, oh, pray for me. I'm in this sin, and I'm doing this. And here you come every week, you know, every other week because you don't fail backwards. You know, I'm not going to keep praying for you and taking all them bullet hits and everything from the enemy because I get you out of it. And then you make the choice to stay in it. You don't want the maintenance plan. And you think I'm going to keep standing up there and praying over you. No, I won't. I will help the one that's trying to get somewhere. But if you want to stay in your mess, stay in your mess. And if you stand in, you tainting up part of the congregation where I'm at, you got to go. And we have that power to do that.
But wait a minute.
How much money you putting in?
Aren't we supposed to continue to pray?
The
people think that we're supposed to continue to pray for them even if they want to stay in their mess. You know, that's not it. Remember, Paul told the Corinthians, you know, throw that young man out. You know, let the enemy deal with him.
Yeah.
Yes,
and we're scared
indeed.
To do that. Some of us are scared to put people out of the house. And know that they're not right in that congregation. Want to always challenge you all the time and make suggestions to you all the time. Well, I can't see why this has to be this way. And if you have a problem being in here, I have a revolving door policy. You can come in it, and it rolls around. You can roll right back out. If you do not like anything that's being done in this house, and it is in order, decency in order, per his instructions, you don't need to be here to cause this discord, to cause this division. Go out there where all them other heathen and where them demons are waiting for you at the door as soon as you step out and go there with them and let them entertain you. I guarantee you, you'll be trying to find God the first hit you get for being disobedient and being disrespectful unto the house. Was not Hagar with Abraham's wife?
Uh-huh.
She was disobedient. She left. The angel came and told her, you do this and obey your mistress. Go back and obey her.
Yes.
Because of that arrogance and pride. Because of the fact that she was able to have a child. And on the fact of that, she knew what Sarah's lover was like. So she wanted him too. So Sarah really brought that pain onto herself. Because you don't never tell your handmaiden nothing that's going on.
Mm.
And she did not trust God enough that when God said, you will have this child, she didn't trust. She thought she had to do it this way for it to happen. But yet she was a prophet.
Wow.
See, a lot of people don't know that. She was a prophet. I don't say prophetess. He did not say that he made apostles, prophets, prophetesses, evangelists, all like this. Everybody got right. This test on the end of stuff. And deaconess is not even in that group. But in prophetess
right.
especially, and I tell everybody, and I wrote on this, take that ESS off of prophet. You are
right.
God's prophet. At one time in the dictionary, they were saying that a prophetess was the wife of a prophet. I was like, what? And then they changed it. And you're not even a prophetess. And everyone that has that word prophetess on their name, I go tell them, take that ESS off your name. You are diluting yourself. You are God's prophet. There's no gender
right.
in this.
Right.
Some of them
wow.
hate me for saying it. Well, I get this. I said, but that's why you can't operate in your full office, because you done deluded yourself.
Right. Right. Hallelujah. We thank Apostle Janet Brown so much for coming on the air. And if you like to speak, if you have anything that you would like to speak or say, you can come on the line now. Those of you who have called in, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad, or you can call in if you are listening now online, or if you're listening from internet land. You can call in now by calling in at area code 347-884-8468. Very interesting topic that we're talking about, the lies and the deception that is going on in the body of believers. We talked a lot, I mean, so much about the falsehood of people bringing in, titles and foolishness and things of that nature to entertain the people. And that is not what the kingdom of Yah is not about. This is not why the Mashiach, this is not why he died for you and I. He didn't do that so that we could be entertained. You know, he done it for the remission of our sins. Okay, so we have to be very careful as to how we worship the Lord. Our prayer life should be, it should be 5 to 10 minutes, because you worshiping your job or your car or whatever the case may be. You need to be worshiping the gift giver instead of the gift. Okay, so these are things that we have went over on this morning. I've been extremely blessed to have my aunt come on the line this morning to speak life back into the body of believers. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful to have her on the air with us. Anyone that would like to speak, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad this morning. Very deep topics that we're talking about in regards to the false hope and the deception of the church. And we would like for all of you, if you'd like to come on and speak, we still got plenty of time. You can press 1 on your telephone keypad. Those of you who are listening from internet land, you only got 10 more minutes, and you might want to call in for the continuation of this topic. You can call in once again at area code 347-884-8468. Philadelphia. Sister Tyler, you are on the line. Good morning, Brakatov.
Good morning, Brakatov. I am blessed as well. Oh, my gosh, I'm excited all in me just from hearing the apostle speak and talk about and break down a lot of things, because a lot of things, it makes so much sense to me. Just like, how she was saying about how you all were talking about people coming to them as opposed to praying for themselves and always coming to them. Because a lot of the leaders, when people coming in and they're fresh off the center block, whatever, however you want to say it, and they coming in and they trying to find out what to do and how to do it and how you're supposed to do it. So they have this leader that might even make you think that this is the only way that you can get. It's like a chain thing. Like, you come to me and I'll go to Jesus, so Jesus can go to God, kind of a thing. So
a lot of people are thinking. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I was going to allow the apostle to speak on that, because
that is
very powerful. Yeah. Go ahead, apostle.
Okay. Give me that last little part one more time. I want to make sure that I'm clear what I heard, because my phone kind of went out for a second.
Okay. She was talking about – go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm just so excited. I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was saying about pretty much how arrogant some of the leaders are to make the person that really doesn't know a lot about what's going on and what they should or what they're supposed to learn. It's like a lot of the leaders are making them think that they have to come through them to go to Jesus, to go to God. Like as if I got this ticket to God that you don't have, so you have to come through me. And then like what is the person that has no idea about what's going on thinking this is the way to do it?
The problem with many of the leaders now is that we are not morahs. And morahs, M-O-R-A-H for women or M-O-R-E-H for men, is the Hebrew word for teachers. We are in a season and time now where we are to be instructing, teaching, not preaching. Teaching. Because we don't have enough teaching going on. As a matter of fact, I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me now just a few minutes ago, and I know that my nephew is going to be my confirmation. But just what we're speaking on today and what we spoke on yesterday, these are training tools.
Right.
That we will use these tapes that are going about, pull them down. They will be used for training those who are coming in, those who are leaders, and even those who are not, so they know what to expect from a leader.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we're just in this time where we're supposed to be teaching, and we're not teaching. I'm seeing people putting things out, well, I decree and declare today that you're going to get this, and I say, you have not been with the Father. This is just you, because you're trying to get famous and get all of these likes and all of these hits in response to what you're putting out there. And that's not what it's about. It's about getting the manna out to the people so that they can eat and digest it in, so that it will make a change to them towards the Father and change their heart towards him and seek him diligently and stronger and build that covenant relationship with him. And people don't want to do that. Everybody wants something fast nowadays. With the Father, it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. You may as well be patient, because he's going to teach you patience. And a lot of these things that we're teaching about, many of us leaders have gone through this. That's why we can teach on it so well. Generally, whatever you're going through, whatever the pain is in your life, that is your ministry. And that's what you got to teach on. Because he's going to take you through it first and let you see what it is. Or else if your whole household is going through this, and I'm talking about the congregation, then all of y'all going to go through this together.
Okay.
So it's a, you know, choice to move it right, or you die where you are. Plain and simple.
Amen.
Wow, that's powerful.
Amen.
He said the Messiah said, I draw on men, all men unto me. He does it. Not you know, we're just vessels, we're just conduits, you know, we're just instruments used for his glory. You know, and if you're not a willing participant, then he will give the assignment to someone else.
That's right. And if we're not in position where he wants us at, how is he going to draw the people to the house if you're not in position?
That's it.
He said, I build the house. So if you're not in position, you don't have to do all that media advertising, spend millions of dollars and thousands of dollars on that. You can do a little bit. Word of mouth travels better than anything. And it's been proven time and time again. All you have to do is be in position. He builds the house. He will send them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For myself, I want to be in position, and I'm asking God daily, Lord, just have me in a place where you want me to be, where you want me to be taught the things that you want me to know, not what man wants me to know, but what you want me to know that's pleasing in your eyesight. I think people need to know that they need to ask God that, because
like it's something where you can go one place and they're teaching one thing, and then here you learn there's a whole Hebraic thing that you need to know about God. I never, ever knew that in my whole entire life. So this is why I ask God daily, to have me where he want me to be, have me under who he want me to be taught under. And I think people should do that.
Yes,
and I don't
I
know.
Agree.
I just thank you so much for this teaching. I thank you, my brother, my Aki, my dog. I thank you so much for having your auntie on, because people need this. I need this. So I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for having this teaching, and to God be the glory, of course. But I'm so thankful that I'm getting more clarity. I'm feeling better about it. I'm trying to learn it more. Each word that I can grasp from the Hebraic language that you're saying, even if I might not spell it right, I spell it out how it sounds so I can say it and know what it is. Like, I know what a quab is now. You know what I mean? I know it's my heart. I know Ashara. I know that I'm blessed. Ashara, I can say Ashara. I'm blessed. You know, hallelujah. That's all
hallelujah.
I can say.
Hallelujah. We love you, and you know, this is what, this is the way that, my aunt has been teaching for years. This is nothing new to her. She's been doing this for years, you know, and at first, myself, I couldn't comprehend what it was that she was teaching initially, you know, until the Holy Ghost had to bring it back into my remembrance. So, you know, now that we have started doing teachings together, you know, people are getting it not only from a male's perspective, but now you're getting it from a female's perspective as to how you should, position yourself as, like she was saying earlier, that Proverbs 31 woman. So, we thank the Lord again for you, and we love you. Thank you so much for coming on the line. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Shalom. Hallelujah. All righty. We have about 10 or 15 more minutes. Those of you who are online, you can call in at area code 347-884-8468. We have a couple of more callers that would like to come on the line this morning. We have Savannah, Georgia. You are on the line. Good morning, Maki.
Good morning, Maki. I just thank the Lord for this powerful, powerful teaching this morning. And we all are here to teach each other the truth and the word. And that's one of the things that I love about just bringing things to clarity in the word. Now, I just want to just bring to our clarity this morning that where people are getting prophets from, it is in the Word. It is in the King James Version. And the first one is in Exodus 15 and 20. And if you turn there, you will see the word prophetess. In the book of Luke 2, 36 and 38, you will also see the word prophetess.
Yes.
In the book Judges 4 and 4, you will see Deborah was a prophetess. You will also see in Isaiah 8 and 3 the word prophetess. In the book of Revelation, we talk about Jezebel was a prophetess. So the Bible does specifically say that. Now, we do know by the word in Ephesians 4 and 11, it does say about the fivefold ministry, and it does say prophet. It signifies prophet. And also in the first book of 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it says some are apostles and prophets, and it says that. But the word is in the book in the King James Version, and it does specifically say in these scriptures, prophetess. So if you go and you look at Exodus 15 and 20, you will see the word prophetess. If you look at Judges 4 and 4, you will see the word prophetess. If you look at the word in Luke 2 and 36 and 38, you will see prophetess. So it is out throughout the Bible, prophetess. Now, this is where a lot of these women are getting that from, the word prophetess. But we know that the fivefold ministry does say prophet. So
yes,
they got that from the scripture. So it is in the scripture. And if you go there in your Bible, I like to always come with the word, not my word, but believe the word. And the word says prophetess. So it does say that. So this is where they're getting that from. So that's why people are confused about prophet and prophetess. But it does say that Miriam was a prophetess in Exodus 15 and 20. And it does say in Luke 2, 36 and 38 and Judges 4 and 4, Isaiah 8 and 3 and Revelation 2 and 20. And I have many other scriptures that says the same thing, prophetess. And it is in the King James Version. That's the Bible that I like to use because that is the old one that everyone has based their biblical knowledge on from the word of the English Version. So I just wanted to just point that out to us this morning, very, very powerful teaching, but I needed to bring that in all our getting. We must bring the truth in all that we do. So I just wanted to bring that to the front, that everybody can look at that for themselves, not believe me, but believe the word for itself. Amen?
Amen. Okay. Apostle, did you want to bring more elaboration on that? Because we see that, yes, it's in the Brit Kadasha. It's only in there twice. It talks about Anna. Now, the Holy Ghost was not available at that time for man. And when you look at the book of Revelation, yes, it does says that Jezebel, she claimed, who claimed to be a prophetess. Mm-hmm. So this further lets us know, like you were saying earlier, that the spirit has no gender. So when she claimed to be of the old covenant is basically what the spirit is saying there, you know, if you read it in the spiritual text, and that is where you were going at, Apostle, is that, yes, it's in the word, but people are using it illegally. They're using the word prophetess illegally, and that's why people get that. They see it, then yet they don't have the revelation. And if you was to read it in the Hebrew text, you will still see prophet, you know. So, you know, yeah, so, you know, you do see Nebi and Nevim. That means prophet and prophets, you know, if you look at it in the plural, you know, of that. Right. So people do have that wrong, they get the wrong interpretation. And that's another reason why we have to go back to the Hebraic text of things, because people get the wrong interpretation of what a prophet, or better yet, if they want to say it, what prophetess is. Apostle was just saying, Apostle Brown is just saying, look, it's in the word, you know, it's in there. However, people are using it in the wrong context. And there's a lot of other things that the people, you know, people are using the word of Yah in the wrong context. And when you do that, you become lost. You know, and, you know, and that's why, yeah, the King James Version of 1611, yeah, it's a good, you know, study, you know, thing to use, because it is the oldest of all of the scriptures in English. But when you look at it from the Hebraic mindset, you can't just, you know, you have to do more research. That's why you have to study to show yourself approved unto Yah. You have to dig a little deeper, and that is what Apostle Brown was basically saying. It wasn't nothing to, I don't feel in my spirit. It was nothing to, you know, to debate about. You know, he was just saying, you know, it is in the word. But then when people read it, especially the women of Yah, they tend to take it into the wrong context. And that is why, you know, you said what you said, Apostle, as far as, you know, people can walk in their, they cannot really walk in the office that they really are in because of the ESS at the end. So, yes, they need to take that off, because it did not say in the book of Ephesians nothing about prophetesses. Okay, if that was the case, it would be apostlesses. And it will be,
right.
You know, it'll be evangelists and all of that. Hallelujah. So that is basically what Brother Brown is saying. And I loved how, you know, he was saying, yes. Now it is in the King James. However,
yes,
you know,
is.
People, right. However, people take it out of context. I love how the body of believers, we come together and we do things as one, because people could get confused and they will say, well, wait a minute. the apostle did say that there was no such thing. Yes, it's in the word, but it's not used like that anymore because there's no respect of persons. So, you know, the Father will use anybody for, you know, for his will. And he'll use anything. You know, he'll use the foolish to confound the wise. So if he'll do that, so he'll definitely, you know, will use whatever he wants, you know, for and whoever he wants for his will. So we thank Apostle Brown for bringing that clarity up as well. Hallelujah. We have one more caller, and we will go ahead and conclude the teaching. Area code 623, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I first give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who clearly is the head of my life. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Apostle, and certainly to your aunt, Apostle. God bless you both this morning, and to the listeners this morning. I was listening to the word in terms of prophetess and prophets and bishops and bishoprics and, you know, apostles. There seems to be a lot of going on and the gender and the calling of God. And like you just said, you know, God takes the foolishness of the world and confounds the wise. But I'm just a little perplexed as to maybe I came in a little late this morning, but I'm a little perplexed as to what there seems to be misusage of prophetess and prophet, and whether you're a prophetess or a prophet and prophelying, they all do the same, okay? And so what needs to be is that one is prophesying and not prophelying in spirit and in truth, whether you're male or female, and whether you're called or whether you're not, seems to be that of God. I believe that we're living in a time now where people are so judgmental that we've lost sight on seeing what the Spirit of Yah is actually saying. We no longer have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, but we have an ear to hear what flesh wants to say and what flesh wants to do. We live in such a microwavable society. You know, instead of depending on God, we elect to depend upon ourselves. But even difficult times can bring about the good. See, we too can rejoice, and we run into problems and trials, but then they help us to develop endurance, and then obviously endurance will develop the strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence of hope of salvation. So with that said, I probably came in, but I did want to focus, because I hear you guys talking about prophet, prophetess, and, you know, it's not even in the title, and it's beyond the title. If everyone would just get away from the titles, let's just break away from the titles and focus on the only title, the Spirit of the True and Living Yah, the Spirit of the True and Living Only God. You know, he's not going to call us by title. He's going to call us by name.
I like how you said that. I'm sorry to interrupt. I like how you said that. But when we call out the fivefold ministry gifts, see, is, you know, it's the gift. Man has made them titles, you know, and that's where the mistake comes in at. People have made the gifts of the Father, they have made them titles. And when you do that, now you're taking something that the Father has created for his kingdom. Now you have did it the way that you want to do it. And you know, I'm not saying you per se, but I'm talking about how man does things. And that's what man has done. If you look at the book of Revelation, the scripture says that they took the 24 elders, they took their crowns off and they put it in front of the throne. So they took their, you know, they deserved their crowns, but yet and still they put it in front of the gift giver. And when they did that, then that is, you know, I believe a lot of people put their, quote, I wouldn't say titles, but they put their gifts on social media and things like that, just so that you can identify who that person is. Look, I'm not here to play around. I'm an apostle. Look, I'm a prophet. That is the gift that the Father has given unto me for the kingdom. But once people start to take that out of, out of context, you know, once they start to do that, and like you said, once they start honoring more of the gift than the gift giver, now it turns into a title. And now people are starting to put it in front of their names. And you know, and I remember Paul, he was known as Paul the Apostle, or he was called Rav Shuel, which means, you know, Saul the Apostle. Or you had, he was also known as Paul the New Man. But a lot of times we have to put those, you know, those gifts out there so that people would know and understand, look, we're not here to play. We're here, we are, you know, this is my gift to the kingdom. I have been affirmed. I've already been consecrated by the Father. I don't know where they get off with consecration from, because only the Father can ordain you. So I don't know where ordination services come from, because only the Father can ordain you. But they, you know, but we can, you know, and we also have to understand, when we can learn better, we can do better. And we're seeing, yes, too many of the gifts being honored as titles. And yeah, it doesn't make, you know, people say it doesn't make a difference if you are a prophet or a prophetess. It makes a big difference, because now that you look at Revelation, you know, people who claim it to be prophetesses, they might be working for Jezebel. And it seems like a lot of people who's saying that they're prophetesses, and I'm not trying to, I don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in, and I'm not trying to judge or condone nobody, but based off of experience that I have had, a lot of people operate in that particular spirit. Now, I'm not, you know, once again, I'm not calling nobody a Jezebel, because, you know, I only call it the way that the Holy Ghost shows me. And we need to stop, you know, using the titles, and we need to get, you know, these archbishops, these master prophets, chief apostles, you know, all of that is foolish. All of that is straight foolishness. There's only one chief apostle. There's only one, you know, there's only one chief cornerstone. Paul didn't say that he was the chief apostle. He said that he was the chiefest of the sinners. Now, when we could come and say, you know what, I was the chiefest sinner, then we're going somewhere, you know. But you have people, like you said, Pastor, that, you know, that people are so much into the title thing. And that is one of the things that we spoke about on this morning, how people are so much into the title aspect. They, number one, they don't even live up to the title. And number two, you know, who are you really worshiping? The title, the gift, or the gift giver? And most of those people are turned over to a reprobate mind. So
well,
that's
absolutely.
What, go ahead. Yes.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, go ahead. No, you're fine. That's good.
No, I apologize. I certainly didn't mean to interject as you were speaking. So,
oh, no, go ahead.
My humble apologies. Thank you. What I was going to say, and I, again, thank you for the floor, but what I was going to say is that, you know, the Bible declares that miracle signs and wonders shall follow, okay? And you have people out here with titles, apostle, prophet, prophetess, whatever, and there's no miracle, there's no sign, and there's no wonder. And so my contention is this: if there's no miracle, there's no sign, and there's no wonder, then there's no apostle, and there's no prophet, and there's no prophetess that God is calling. Now, you may have calling yourself, but I'm talking about being into the Spirit and being called of the true and living God, because what God has called, God has equipped. Amen. And the Bible lets us know this. And so I think that ultimately what we see in this day and age, like you said, with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, when he went into Corinth, you know, they were very apprehensive of Paul because Paul was slaying. He was abusing. He was killing believers. But, you know, Paul had his Damascus Day experience, and Paul had an encounter with God himself. But after that encounter, when Paul was able to be in the presence of the true and living God, and he recognized that, you know what, I've been called, I've been chosen. And so Paul knew that he had an assignment and he had a calling on his life. So Paul was changed instantaneously. And ultimately with that change, people still didn't receive Paul immediately because
right.
they were fearful of Paul for what he had done. You understand what I say?
I understand.
Yeah, so people were like, okay, you know, and so, but yet and still, as Paul went out, and I paraphrase, and I'm just paraphrasing here, but Paul went out, he did his assignments, and he was able to convert those who were non-believers into believers. He was able to lay hands on the sick and they recover, even at the Gate of Beautiful. You understand what I said. And so, you know, Paul was doing all these miraculous things, but there were miracles, there were signs, and there were wonders that were following him. We have people out here today that are all about money, that are all about title. They're not about kingdom work. They're not about kingdom. They're not about people. They're not about souls. They're about them. And there's no miracle, there's no sign, and there's no wonder. Now, y'all can call it prophetess, y'all can call it prophet, you all can call it apostle, you all can call it pastor, you can call it whatever you want, but I'm telling you, we are living in a time now that God is not equipped certain people. There's a remnant out here that God is equipped, and he's preparing that remnant in these last and evil days. I'm very passionate about what I say, so don't be...
Oh, no, we fine, hallelujah. Bless your heart. Thank you so much, my dear sister, for coming on the line this morning. You put a lot of emphasis on that, and, you know, and I would say, and there you have it, you know. So, thank you so much, because we are just running out of time, but thank you so much for coming on and to also further, go over what we were stating on this morning. Hallelujah. So may the Lord bless you, and we love you as well. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. That was good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Shalom. Hallelujah. All righty. That was very powerful as to what she was saying. Look, it says in the word that miracles, signs, works, and wonders follow those that believed in anointed one. So where are the miracles, signs, works, and wonders? Well, that's something that we need to be questioning. And that will be the main topic on Saturday. You come on the line, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be talking about the spirit of divination, the spirit of witchcraft. Why is that being used more? Well, it's being used because people are not truly connected to the true source. Hallelujah. I like to thank my aunt for coming on, Apostle Janet Brown, very powerful teaching on this morning. People need to hear more of this. People need to, they do truly need to understand that we are in those last days. There are people who are trying to deceive you. There are people out there who are not after your best interest. But they are more after your goods. Okay? So we need to be very careful. Hallelujah. So once more, we'll be on the air Saturday morning, if y'all are willing, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Hallelujah. In closing, I love all of you. In spirit and in truth, there's nothing that you can do about it. You to do one thing, that is for you to love us, because Yah is love. Those that worship Yah must worship him in spirit and in truth. Love someone. Let them know that you love them, and also and foremost, that the Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, he loves them as well, and he loves you. okay? Worship him in spirit and in truth, okay? Have a very blessed day in Yah. If someone needs to hear this message, you can always go to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries, either on Facebook, on the recordings, the archives are off there, or you can always go to iTunes, or you could go to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries on Blog Talk Radio. Have a very powerful and safe, blessed Thursday. Hope to see you, if the Lord is willing, on Saturday morning. Shalom and shalom, everyone.